This time on Weather Brains, scattered storms popping up across Alabama.
I believe in the last 3 to 4 days, a good percentage of Alabama has had a significant wetting down, which at least temporarily alleviates the dry weather situation.
We take a look back at a stormy weekend in central parts of the state.
They had some really tremendous thunderstorms with lightning and rain down there in Tuscaloosa.
Plus,
these things are a lot more complex than we give them credit for.
We get a weather lesson about a typical summertime occurrence.
Outflow boundaries can be very fascinating.
We'll talk about the latest tropical system.
This thing has potential to be a tropical storm, maybe a 50 to 55 knot storm in the Caribbean.
And what J.B. Elliott counts on a lot when it comes to predicting tropical storms.
I still lean heavily on the National Hurricane Center tracking chart.
That and much more coming up. Welcome to Weather Brains, the podcast that's all about the weather, put together by a bunch of weather geeks. Weather geeks like myself, David Black, and also with me for this program, Mr. Brian Peters. Hello, Brian.
Good evening, David, and how are you this evening?
I am...
Staying cool, I hope?
Yeah, just doing well, making it through summer with no complaints. Bill Murray with us as well this time. Hello, Mr. Murray.
Hello, Mr. Black. Hello, gentlemen.
Good to have you with us. Missed you for the past few weeks. You've had a lot going on. J.B. Elliott with us as well. Mr. Elliott, how you are, sir?
Semi-good.
Semi-good. We'll find out more about that in a moment. Also, this time, a special hello to someone we enjoy having with us, but he can't be with us very often because of his schedule, and that is one Jason Simpson. Jason,
hello,
how are you?
Hello. I'm doing good. Mowed the grass this afternoon, got some rain right behind it, and it's growing right back up.
You managed
That's
to,
good news.
You managed to mow in between raindrops?
I got it in. Got it in. It was good.
You know, this was yet another one of these really local things today. My wife was in one part of Alabaster, said it was coming down in buckets. She drives a mile or less than that to where we are, and nothing. Nothing going on at all.
She must have been in my part of town then.
I guess. So anyway, but that's just par for the course. So guys, let me find out while we're talking about these spotty showers and occasional storms, what does the pattern look like? Any big change or more of the same? Anybody who wants can contribute here.
Well, my look this afternoon for the web video map discussion looked like no change. Hot with isolated showers.
So are we going to be in one of these patterns like for the next week, 2 weeks? Any kind of long-range projections that we might cool down or get wet or just stay the same? Or am I just wishing for too much here?
I think you're wishing. You know, if you're lucky, you'll get under one of those isolated showers, which will cool you down briefly. But then when the rain stops, the humidity goes up to like 99.2%. So it gets muggier than ever, even though the temperature drops off 10 degrees.
It's interesting sometimes when you go out in the morning, if you get up early, as I do a lot, and you want to go out for a walk or something, sometimes you feel like you can cut the air with a knife. It is so humid. And then other days, it's kind of more moderate, so whatever.
I just got back from a half-mile walk with my dumb dog, and it is really sticky out there.
Why did you say dumb dog? Because you're probably going to get some email about that. Your dog's probably very smart.
Semi-smart.
J.B. Elliott's email address, if you'd like to contact him here at WeatherBrain, anyway.
Yeah, and report him to the SPCA.
Hey, Bill, did you get any emails this afternoon about Molly?
No emails, I don't think, J.B., but I haven't read through all of them, so I may
your
well sing- have.
Your signature was on the afternoon e-forecast by mistake, so I thought maybe you got all the Molly emails.
Yeah, I did get an email that didn't relate to Molly that somebody thought that it had been written by me. It was an old friend of mine, Michael Lee, who used to work for the Sheriff's Department that I knew a long time ago. And apparently he just stumbled across the fact that and he accidentally found it because of the wrong signature. But it was nice to connect with him because of that. Thanks, JB. You hooked up a couple of old friends there.
Good.
Tell you what, if you ever miss out on a Miss Molly story, people respond to that. And speaking of people, we should probably say that James Spann, if you haven't already figured it out, is not with us this time. Brian, do you know exactly what jail he's in at this point? Do we have any further details?
No. We've been working with the FBI to see if we can track down what jail he's in, but
of course
no luck so far.
He's claiming he's on vacation, but we know that it's probably some kind of trouble thing, or if it's not, we can try to stir it up.
He was on the IM conference for a brief time today.
You know, it makes me wonder when Span takes vacation, how seriously does he really go on vacation? Does he, you know, does he turn off his laptop? Does he shut off his wireless devices? Does he stop getting e-warn warnings? You know, have you ever wondered how does he ever really remove himself?
He doesn't go on vacation.
Well, maybe.
I can assure you he doesn't. We saw him over the weekend. I had the privilege of being the official rainfall observer for the Porsche 250 out at the Barber Motor Sports Park in, I don't know, I guess that's officially in Leeds, isn't it?
I'm not sure
all the boundaries are up there. And I saw him posting several times over the weekend with some pictures. It was interesting weather in the Birmingham area over the weekend with isolated storms, and they had rain insurance out there, and it was fascinating how the rain just went all around them, and they didn't get enough of what they were insured for, but it was amazing. It looked like if I were a betting man, it looked like they were going to get clobbered with maybe three-quarters or of an inch or an inch, and didn't
did
end
you guys,
up with anything.
Did you guys see that complex of storms as it moved south across Jefferson into Shelby over the weekend, Saturday afternoon, I believe it was?
Yes, sir.
It was black, at least the way I looked at it from Shelby County looking north. It was really ominous looking, and I figured there'd be warning, and there were some warnings, but I thought there would be warnings all over the place. There weren't as many as I thought there would be, though, but it really looked ominous.
It really did.
A big chunk of Tuscaloosa County got really, really wet yesterday, up to 2 inches in places, and there was significant flooding in the Tuscaloosa area. One major intersection was under 2 feet of water, and this afternoon, Fayette County got a similar wetting down, so it's in spots, like Brian was talking about, but I believe you guys may not agree with me, but I believe in the last 3 to 4 days, a good percentage of Alabama has had a significant wetting down, which at least temporarily alleviates the dry weather situation, but does not erase all of the deficit.
Jason, you work the morning shift at 3340, and you sometimes have a shot at seeing where some of the storms might start popping up before you leave for the day. Would you go along with that? It's kind of a good scattering across the area that we're getting?
It is. One of the things I try to do every morning, and I'd say there's probably about a 50-50 success rate at it, is try to determine the best area within our market area where thunderstorms are going to develop. And today it was obvious they were going to be a little more to the west of I-65. But I also thought they would develop farther to the south, where we had all that sunshine down toward Montgomery, the Highway 80 corridor, where very little of anything happened so far today. And everything happened in West Alabama, like JB said, with the heavier thunderstorms over in Fayette County. We had it in Marion County, Walker County, under a severe thunderstorm warning at times. And not to mention this morning, what was odd to me was we had some very heavy downpours in Greene, Sumter, Pickens, and Lamar counties, very close to where we had the thunderstorms that popped up this afternoon.
Were these just slow-moving storms? Is that why they dumped much rain?
I think the term that I used, I didn't say this on air, but somebody was asking me how fast they were moving. I said they're oozing to the southwest at about 1 mile per hour.
Wow.
And Alaska's in wintertime.
So they were switching directions at times this afternoon, too. That big glob of storms over Walker, Fayette, and southern Marion County, when it started breaking up a little bit, they actually turned south, and they also sent an outflow boundary that came southeast, and last check I had on it, it had moved down into southwest Jefferson County and north Bibb County, and wherever that thing gets a motel for tonight and spends the night may be the focal point tomorrow.
Okay, I have a proposal, because you just said something, JB, that a lot of people hear, but not everybody may understand. Would you guys do a simple man's explanation of what an outflow boundary is?
Well, we heard all about the microburst just a few weeks ago with what happened in Summerton, what happened in Southside. And you don't always get the same kind of effect with this, but oftentimes, well, every time there's a thunderstorm, you have an updraft and a downdraft. A downdraft brings down some cool air, it hits the ground, and because it hits the ground and can't keep going any farther down, that momentum that's taking it down also spreads it out along the surface like a cold front. So wherever the leading edge of that cool air is, that's where your outflow is.
Okay, and outflow boundaries are pretty common during the summer, right?
That's exactly right. You get those standard summertime thunderstorms, they put them out all the time.
And they have impacts on the weather, you know, both positive and negative. At Barber Motorsports over the weekend, especially Sunday, the outflow boundary killed off the thunderstorms in our direction, but As that outflow boundary moved into Tuscaloosa County, it actually enhanced the thunderstorms over there. So outflow boundaries can be very fascinating.
And they're probably very hard to forecast, right?
They are. You know, go ahead, Brian.
I don't think you can really forecast them until you see a thunderstorm, and then you can begin to imagine or forecast some sort of outflow from that thunderstorm. But I don't think you can really forecast them more than just a few hours in advance.
You know, one of the interesting things that I learned, and I just took an American Meteorological Society test last week, and one of the things I learned in studying for that I had really, I don't know if I'd not paid attention to it before, but there are some guidelines for actually forecasting which side of that outflow boundary, because the outflow goes in all directions from the storm. Of course, the environmental wind is going to carry it a little more in one direction than it will the other. So if you have a northeast wind at the surface, that outflow boundary is going to have a little bit more of a northeast to southwest component to it. But there are certain amounts of spin in the atmosphere that are on each side of the outflow boundary, and depending on whether the spin is positive or the spin is negative, and the part of the atmosphere that's impacting that outflow boundary, that's where you're most likely to see the thunderstorm development. And that's a topic that would most likely take a chalkboard to get into.
Wow, that's deep.
But it's really interesting. These things are a lot more complex than we give them credit for.
Exactly. You know, people think, big deal, summertime thunderstorms, but James Spann has talked repeatedly about how tough they are to forecast, yeah. And you just really don't have any way, I suppose. Bill Murray, you've been doing some forecasting, including over the weekend, blog updates and stuff. Is summer forecasting a big challenge in terms of storm placement?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, David. Over the next 3 days, the subtle differences are going to be the things that are going to make make the forecast interesting. When you look at the models, you really just can't tell much 2 and 3 days out. You've got to get to the day of, like Jason was saying, and see where those subtle features are. So I think that's what will happen over the next couple of days here. It was interesting to me to see those big cell mergers like over Tuscaloosa County yesterday. You could just see it coming. The cells coming from the northwest and, you know, getting ready to collide with these cells coming from the northeast, and then the heavens just opened up, and they had some really tremendous thunderstorms with lightning and rain down there in Tuscaloosa and some strong gusty winds too.
There were some pretty impressive pictures sent by viewers posted on ABC 3340's weather blog, and some of those looked like the world was going to end. Just real pitch black clouds. Kind of scary looking.
Yeah, the clouds that came over us in Trustful on Saturday afternoon were so impressive, and you could hear the roar. You know, I think we saw some wind damage up around Clay. Everything was scattered and mostly minor, but you could hear the wind roaring. And, you know, the winds had to be at least 45, 50 miles an hour, because it sounded like, you know, what we've experienced with some of these landfalling tropical cyclones over the past few years. You know, you could just hear that wind cut through the trees. And it's interesting tonight, looking out in the Atlantic, just a little bit east of the islands, the convection around that disturbance that's approaching the leewards right now is really picking up tonight. So I think there's a good chance we're going to have Tropical Depression number 3 here.
Okay, who's going to make predictions here? You say TD3, right, Bill? What about...
I think it's already there. I think it is.
Hmm. I do too, Jason.
We've had a low-level circulation on that thing all day, and I understand the hurricane center because it didn't have a lot of convection around it for most of the day up until now. I really think with the next tropical weather outlook that comes out, we may have a special disturbance statement between now and then. But I think that TD3 is going to be here by midnight, officially. Now, looking at some of the model data, 120 hours out, this is based on the latest stuff coming, the numerical grids from NHC, this thing has potential to be a tropical storm, maybe a 50 to 55 knot storm in the Caribbean. It all depends on where it tracks relative to the islands. This morning, the GFDL model had the thing going just south of Cuba, and that's if you get within, say, 20, 30 miles of the Cuban coast or the Hispaniola coast, that's a death trap for a tropical system, especially a weak one, because of that downsloping wind off the mountains, bringing that dry air in. So this doesn't really look like it has the potential to grow into something huge, but it's something. It's something, of course, we're getting toward that peak of hurricane season, so you know, we're watching it. Have to watch it.
Yeah, the Naval Research Lab site already has it called O3L. They've changed it from 99 to O3L and calling it no name right now. So they believe it's already a depression, I think.
So maybe this one will be a newsmaker. Maybe it'll be a weather maker, too. Just hard to tell. In the model of confidence, I assume, that far out when you're dealing 7-10 days out. I mean, what's the value of a model at that point?
It's not worth the paper it's written on, really.
That's James Spann calls that voodoo land, does he
it
not?
It is. It really is. And the only reason I bring that up is because there's been a little run-to-run consistency in thinking that this could become a tropical storm. I have not personally seen any model forecast this to become a hurricane within that 120-hour window. Now, when you get into James Spann voodoo land on the GFS... Now, the 12Z GFS had a lot of pretty tropical cyclones out there in the Atlantic, out there about 180 hours plus. But, you know, you've got to take that stuff with a grain of salt. It's possible, but not likely.
Hey, box of salt.
JB, a big box. I wanted to ask you something right along those lines, JB. As a senior forecaster, you have watched tropical systems for many years, and you've watched the various models making their projections. Do you ever get excited at a model's long-term forecast on a tropical system now, or are you of the opinion that, hey, it's just not reliable?
No, I do not get excited, and I still lean heavily on the National Hurricane Center tracking chart because I figure they have taken the time and have the experts to grind all of that into the meat grinder and figure out what's best, and it's just hard to differ with them, really. There are times when we really have a difference of opinion on a track, especially on a short-term course. We had one Hurricane Charley year before last, I believe, that we clearly detected that thing was curving northeast quicker when the National Hurricane Center was still pointing it toward Tampa Bay. So we had arrived at a conclusion, consensus among us, that it was going in to going in further south than Tampa Bay, 4 to 6 hours before the National Hurricane Center thought so, but that was just the luck of the draw.
And I suppose, too, that you can look at a particular forecast scenario and say, oh, the Hurricane Center guys don't know what they're talking about, and we think it's going to do something totally different, but all those variables and all the circumstances just totally change with the next system. It's like whatever happened before is meaningless because it can all happen again with the next system in a totally different way. And who's to know? Who's right?
That's true.
You know, it's just a hard one to call. Speaking
and
of
I don't
hurricane,
consider myself a hurricane expert by any means. Brian's the one that's flown into into a Category 5.
Yeah, and that doesn't make me an expert, JP.
Oh, so you're not the tropical officer? You're the software officer, aren't
you? Oh, no. Don't get into that. Just because James Spann is not here, you don't have to bring all that up.
Well, speaking of hurricanes, Bill Murray, you got to do an exciting trip to see Max Mayfield, director of the National Hurricane Center in South Florida recently, and we were looking forward at some point in the near future to maybe hearing more about your travel and tour down there. But you have really been hitting the road lately, and I guess you have this thing called a day job to deal with too, right?
Yeah, a little bit. It's got me in Bethesda, Maryland tonight. That's where I am. And
wow.
Boy, it's hot up here too. But yeah, 2 weeks ago, David, we did get to go to the National Hurricane Center. Unfortunately, my Sony Vaio gave up the ghost, and as soon as Sony gets around to getting a technician out, I'll actually be able to retrieve that file, and
okay.
and we'll be able to put it up. But it has made me get a new computer, and that means that I can do Weather Brains again. So I'm excited to find out that
we're
it's
excited
not the
to
internet.
Have you back. Yeah,
it's not the internet; it's the computer. But I think one thing that Max Mayfield said to me the other day, in keeping with what we were just talking about when we were there, he said, "Bill, we preach one thing." And I said, "What's that, Mr. Mayfield?" He said, "Uncertainty." He said, "Read everything we say. Read the uncertainty." He said, "Because we say it's going to go here, but look at that cone, and that's why they call it the cone of uncertainty. Because that's, that tells you right there what we're really thinking.
I think it really
go anywhere in that.
I think it really bothers the Hurricane Center folks when people look at that center line in that cone and take that as the forecast."
Yeah,
so they don't want you to do that.
He said that's going to be on his tombstone. Don't look at the skinny black
right.
line.
Look at the whole zone. Well, we will be looking forward to you getting your notebook prepared, because I know folks are going to enjoy hearing the tour that you were treated to at NHC. I'm really looking forward to hearing that myself. And
what kind of laptop did you buy, Bill?
Well, I've got a new Dell, and I've just got to get all my software and all my files off the other computer as soon as they come and replace the power supply. They're all there safe and sound. I've just got to get them moved over. So it's been kind of a handicapping process this last 2 weeks working on a new computer. But about a week or so, I think we'll be back to normal.
Well, besides being weather geeks, we're all sort of computer geeks. Kind of goes with the territory in this fold. And two of the Weather Brains, or three of the Weather Brains weather geeks, have become Mac people now. James Spann just went with a Mac notebook. Of course, he's on vacation this week, so we can't talk to him about it. But Brian Peters, you bought, what was it, a MacBook Pro? Is that right?
Yes. James and I have the same one, actually.
Well, what do you think? Give us your give us your rating.
I love it. It's different than Windows. I mean, things don't operate exactly the same way. You'd think two laptops, one a Windows and one a Mac, they would be essentially the same. They're quite different. There's a little bit of a learning curve to getting used to it, but I really do like it. And one of the things I like very much is that, yes, you can crash programs, but the operating system is rock solid stable. It's just
absolutely wonderful. Absolutely. Well, that's great. We'll have to do a little more Mac checking out as the podcasts go on, and get some thoughts and observations. There's a lot of interest in those computers. They cost a little bit more, but it sounds like you get a lot of bang for your buck, too.
Oh, you sure do. And it's so funny. I have an HP PC laptop, and I have the MacBook. And, man, the MacBook is less than an inch thick, and the HP is like an inch and a half thick. And it's, wow, it's like night and day. I also wanted to mention I saw Max Mayfield in Mobile a week ago tomorrow. He was down there. No, I'm sorry. I think it was Wednesday. He was down there for the Alabama Emergency Management Agency Conference and the Alabama-Mississippi Hurricane Conference, which I believe was Wednesday and Thursday of last week. And I had a nice chat with him. And he mentioned this guy from Alabama coming down and bugging him a lot. I think he was talking about Bill Murray.
Is weather brains a bad word in his vocabulary now? I don't know.
Absolutely not.
Because I accosted him on the telephone. Bill Murray got him. You got him. He may not want to have anything to do with us anymore.
Well, Max and I we didn't have much time. Governor Riley was there, and Max was there, and a whole bunch of other big people. But Max and I were chatting just real briefly, and he said, you know, don't I remember that you, he was speaking to me now, don't I remember that you and your wife came to the Hurricane Center on your honeymoon? And I couldn't believe that, because my wife and I have been married almost 37 years. And it was. We did that. We went to Miami.
You went to NHC on your honeymoon?
Yes. Well, we went to Miami on the honeymoon. And while we were there, we didn't have much in the way of plans. So we just happened by the University
of Miami. Hey, David. You were looking for the definition of a weather geek. And that right there is the picture by the dictionary. We would all do that, and you all know it. You all need to admit it. Every one of us would have done the same thing.
And I was wondering why I couldn't get a date. Brian, you're the luckiest man alive.
Certified official weather geek.
Wow.
Well, apparently Max was one of the people I spoke to when I was there, but we were both nothing back then. I mean, let's see, I would have been probably, 21 or so, something like that. So Max and I were both absolute peons in the weather field completely. I'm still a peon in the weather field, but Max is a great guy. It was nice to have him in Alabama.
I'm going to tell you guys something. When I hear you talk about just different weather elements like outflow boundaries and things like that, it really makes me understand what a peon I am in trying to learn about weather. It's a much more fascinating field than most people will ever even realize. Just it's so complex, and it seems like there's so much that we don't know, too. Let me jump back for just a second to we were talking about the spotty thunderstorms that were gracing some of us across parts of central Alabama recently. And even though we've had storms in a few spots, kind of a hit-and-miss thing during the past week or so, local government agencies are telling us that these outdoor watering restrictions that they've been asking us or telling us that we need to follow, those are staying in effect at this point. We spoke with Charles Lay with the Shelby County Water Authority about how current water reserves are holding up throughout the area. How's the situation now?
Well, the recent rains have helped a lot, and usage has gone down quite a bit in our system. although I'm sure it'll go back up again if we get some more hot, dry weather.
Are you still asking some of your customers to go easy on consumption?
Yes, we need to maintain that that schedule that we've talked about through September, because I still believe we'll have periods of hot, dry weather, and I don't think we'll get the rain every time we need it. So I think we do need to maintain our schedule.
Unless we get some kind of a tropical system or some unusual rainfall, we're probably going to be like this for the next few months. So do you see this being still something of a touchy or touch-and-go type situation for a while?
I think so. Our customers have responded well to our request. We don't have a lot of extra water during hot, dry periods, but we have had enough, just enough to meet the demand and keep the water in the tanks. So we do need to maintain our schedule all the way through September.
That's Charles Lay with the Shelby County Water Authority. That's the group that sells water wholesale to a number of cities around Shelby County. So I guess the lesson, the message there is just keep doing what you're doing and maybe we'll get through this, okay? Because it doesn't look as if we're in for any tropical activity to wet us down anytime soon. I guess we've still just got to live with spotty showers and thunderstorms. So, Brian, tell us about your weekend activities at the motorsports facility.
Well, like a lot of people, I think, in Birmingham, I had never been out there. I met with them on Thursday. They had rain insurance for the events. There were actually races on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They had rain insurance for Saturday and Sunday, and they needed a rainfall observer. I think most insurance companies require either an on-site rainfall observer or they're willing to use an official observation site if it is within 5 miles of the venue. And in the case of the Barber Motorsports Park, they are not within 5 miles of a reporting station like Birmingham or Shelby County. They're not within that area. So set up a rain gate on the roof of the paddock building out there, which is the building that faces a pit row and the start-finish line. And it was absolutely fascinating. I'd never been there before, and they had two different classes of races going on. They had prototype cars, which are not street versions at all. They're definitely race cars. And then there were street cars that are like Porsches, Mustangs, BMWs, just a whole host of various cars, Mazdas, whatever. And then they also had these go-karts, and I was appalled in a way to find out it's a motorcycle engine with these little wheels that are about the size of your lawnmower wheels, and you do 90 miles an hour down the straight.
Wow.
And it's like this human's just propelled by this little motor, and they are loud. Oh, wow, they are loud. But anyway, those were fascinating, and no major events in those. A couple of cars crashed. It was interesting on the Porsche 250 on Sunday that as they left the start-finish line with the green, you know, the go-ahead, the green flag to start the race, one of the cars in the first turn nosedived right into the side and was out for the rest of the race. So it didn't get off to a great start. But then they had, I think it was about 90 laps or so, about 2.5 hours of the race. And a very, very fascinating to see. But the wind on Saturday took out a whole bunch of awnings. Many of the groups that are there have large motorhomes and large 18-wheelers that have awnings to keep the sun off the equipment in the area where they can work. And a lot of those people lost awnings, or they were flipped over. If they were the freestanding kind, they were flipped over in the wind that we had. I estimated the wind to be between 35 and 40 miles an hour, but that will do it to awning. So it kind of looked a little ragged out there after the wind came through, but they didn't get much rain at all during any of the events on Saturday or Sunday.
Well, sounds like you had a good time.
Oh, it was wonderful. Very colorful, too. All the cars and different colors and painted up. And one of my favorite ones was CompUSA. They were a red and white car out there. It was one of the prototype cars. And they were the major sponsor for that car. That was kind of interesting to see that.
Just never know what you're going to get into. Everybody has their side activities. Bill Murray, you're an interesting example of that. You've got so many different ventures. You're in the hotel business, and I really don't think I know. I couldn't cite anybody else offhand who travels as much as you do, but I guess you enjoy it.
I always wanted to travel when I was young. I had no idea what I was going to get into, Dave, because I, you know, last week I was in Vegas, Park City, Utah, and this week up here in Washington, D.C., one of my favorite places.
It sounds like you travel so much, though, you probably, I'm going to guess here, you may not get to see much of a lot of the cities you hit. Is that true? Or do you manage to work in some visit time, too?
Well, I always do my best to try to do something fun when I'm on a trip, whenever I can. Of course, time sometimes doesn't permit that, but I think it's called a busman's holiday. That's one of my favorite things. I was really trying to angle this week. The Braves are in Pittsburgh to play the Pirates, and I sure would love to see the new stadium, so I was doing everything I could to get to Pittsburgh Thursday, but it looks like I'm going to have to come back to Birmingham Wednesday night or Thursday morning and miss that opportunity.
JB, it sounds like you and I lead a dull life compared to these guys.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Anyway, you and your dumb dog?
Yes.
I still think you're going to catch flack for that. Miss Molly is an intelligent young lady.
The majority owner is sitting over here at the other computer, and she's bitterly complaining at me calling her a dumb dog. So yeah. I'll call her a semi-dumb dog, but she's even protesting that.
She's certainly a beautiful dog, that's for sure.
We'll keep looking for what jail James Spand is in and see if we can bail him out.
Yeah, maybe he'll come back from his alleged vacation next week, but I suspect he's in trouble somewhere.
That's probably the only way he could get a vacation, David, is to get put in jail.
Yeah, and get away from the cell phones and pagers and everything else. If you'd like to contact us here at WeatherBrains, our email address is question@weatherbrains.com. If you'd like to leave a voicemail on our voicemail line, that number is 206-339-5482. And a reminder that the opinions you hear expressed here on Weather Brains are not necessarily those of ABC 3340. They're actually just of the weather geeks giving them. We want to thank you for joining us for Jason Simpson, Brian Peters, and JB Elliott. I'm David Black. Thank you for listening. We will hope you join us again next time for the next edition of Weather Brains. Weather Brains is copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Adios. Thanks, guys. Fun show.
Except you left out Bill Murray.
What did I? Are you serious? I'm sorry,
Bill. I didn't hear
Bill.
Oh, well, I didn't even know.
I'll work in an edit. Man, we forgot Bill Murray. Well, you know, you're not with us so much. You've been gone so many weeks.
I'm so excited that this actually works.
Yeah. Now it's great to have you and Jason back in. So anyway, enjoyed it, guys. Y'all try to keep out of trouble.
We'll try. Take care. Bye, Bill. Bye, JB.
Bye, everybody.